Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Yep, yep, it is the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage could help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. The drama never stops in the National Football League. You have some bad situations this year, and there's one thing to have a bad situation and your team just not be winning. And then here comes all the stories. Here comes all the digging. Here comes all the hearsay that transpires. You know, we talked about the Raiders, injuries, and then Blake Martinez, who knows what the reason was, he randomly retires. You have publicly now, because that team's on Hard Knocks, which is going to be a disaster, Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins fighting. And you have the Commanders. I know that they have restored a little bit in their win-loss record in terms of the wins, but then today, we know that Dan Snyder is a scumbag and will always be a scumbag, and we know that he should be taken out of the league very soon, and there's going to be a day sooner rather than later that he's going to sell the team. But you find out that the Attorney General in Washington, D.C. is now suing the Commanders owner and Dan Snyder, the NFL and Roger Goodell, for colluding to deceive district residents, the heart of the Commanders fan base, about an investigation into a toxic workplace culture. So there's a lot of craziness in the NFL. We just played you in the last hour. Tom Brady not happy with the Bucs' lack of effort. And then Todd Bowles saying there's no effort problem. I want to get in, though, to this latest Packers story. And Jeremy Fowler, I would say, is a respected voice among NFL reporters in the NFL. I would not say that he is someone that produces Andrew Siciliano's favorite words, clickbait. I don't think he's someone that just makes it about himself. I would like to think the way, and I don't know Jeremy Fowler personally, but the way that I've followed his reporting, he's usually well-researched, well-sourced, and I can't remember there being a significant story where he was just saying something to opine an opinion and make it seem like it was fact, but in reality, he was just stating an opinion. You would agree, right, Hickey, that Jeremy Fowler of ESPN is a highly thought of, well-respected NFL information type of guy?
Well-sourced, doesn't just throw anything out there to get clicks. Absolutely.
I would say probably if you're looking at the power structure of NFL insiders, in no order, Schefter, well-respected. Glazer, well-respected. Pelissero, well-respected. Who am I missing here?
Rappaport.
Oh, Ian Rappaport, obviously well-respected. And Jeremy Fowler is in maybe not the top tier of notable and reputable names, but he's either in the first or second on the depth chart. Like, if you put him in to start, he's going to do A-OK. He's going to be just fine.
If Schefter goes down with an injury, another torn ACL, put in Jeremy Fowler, next man up, no problem.
You know, Schefter, I love Schefter. He tweeted about our Darren Waller thing at the draft, but if Schefter starts doing all these dance moves again, Lambeau leaps, gritties, trying to look like Kirk Cousins, and yeah, you're right, tears another ACL or fractures a thumb or something like that, I think Jeremy Fowler could step in and be just fine. I'm sure I'm missing out some NFL insiders. It's not to be a jerk, just in the heat of the moment, these are the names that are just rattling off the top of my head. So don't be getting into my DMs. Don't be making a fake verified Zach Gelb account and then start trashing me. I apologize if I left you out of that conversation and you're actually a reputable NFL insider. If you're one of these clowns and one of these hacks that just does a lot of clickbait or just reissues story after story after story just to get all the likes and the tweets and all that, and you're mad at me, well, then go screw you. I don't really care. But anyway, Jeremy Fowler had this article on ESPN, and it's now blowing up and going viral because you would agree, right, Ryan? I don't think Aaron Rodgers is all that popular. He's a great football player. Easily first ballot Hall of Famer. I thought the narrative about Rodgers was starting to change when he initially did Pat McAfee's show. And I even said, when AJ Hawk joined us, you know, you guys have humanized Aaron Rodgers a little bit. But then when he starts to talk about the ayahuasca and the Pancha Karma cleanse and he gets all zen on us and he's the greatest thing in the world and he starts with all this witchcraft and wizardry and then you find out that maybe one of his girlfriends or his new girlfriend is a witch. When you get into all this stuff and he starts to give his information or his opinion on things, he comes off a lot of times like an arrogant, I am so good, I'm the man, I'm up here, I'm superior, you're inferior. He comes off, let me just say it nicely, very douchey and very arrogant and very full of himself. Would you agree with the way that I just classified Aaron Rodgers? And it's always someone else's fault. How dare you question me? I'm never wrong. I'm never in the wrong. It's not my fault.
Without a doubt.
So now there could be some friction in the locker room potentially. Because you got to remember, I don't have a problem if you don't show up to voluntary OTAs. You're not required to. Voluntary for a reason. But when you don't show up and then you're bitching about chemistry and you're supposed to be the leader of the team and you're saying, maybe we need to start to simplify the offense. Maybe we need to start cutting guys' reps that make the same mistakes. It's not a good look for a leader to say that publicly. And then number two, it's not a good look when 2 weeks later you're throwing three interceptions against the Detroit Lions. It's not like he threw three interceptions against a great team. Bailey Zappe was able to dominate the Detroit Lions. So for Aaron Rodgers, he's in a five-game losing streak. He's probably coming to grips with the reality, and I don't even know if he cares, that he's not going to win a second Super Bowl. He's not even going to get to a second Super Bowl. His BFF is stuck in a disaster situation, partially part of Rodgers, partially part of Devontae Adams and the Green Bay Packers, where they couldn't find a way to make it work, and then it was too late when they offered him the deal that he wanted, and he left money on the table to just make a point and go to the Raiders. But the Raiders stink, the Packers stink, and there's really no words of optimism, as we're only going to week 10, pretty much halfway through the season, that I could give you about the Packers to make you think, oh, good times are coming to finish off this year for the Green Bay Packers. Like, I could say it confidently right now. The Packers aren't making the playoffs. If you think they're undertaking a little Undertaker gif rising back up from the dead, you either have a cheesehead on your cabeza right now, or you're just the biggest sucker and the biggest sycophant for one Aaron Rodgers. So here's what Jeremy Fowler was asked. And it was in one of these ESPN articles that he does write up and author up on the worldwide leader of sports, ESPN. What are you hearing about the Packers during their five-game losing streak? I don't want to be someone that is kind of looked at as someone that's just giving you a little bit of the quote. I want to give you all the quote. And then you could interpret it and you could listen to it and you could unpack what's being said by Jeremy Fowler. So the question one more time was, what are you hearing about the Packers during their five-game losing streak? And this is what Jeremy Fowler wrote, that some of the young wide receivers have been painted as scapegoats for the Packers' problems despite Aaron Rodgers' absence during OTAs, which isn't sitting well with some there. That is their frustration over the defense, particularly on the back end, where communication and game plan issues have persisted, that they are trying to stick together, but a tough schedule coupled with a barrage of injuries makes that nearly insurmountable. Other than that, everything is great. I don't get the sense that Green Bay plans to turn to Jordan Love. There is a very real chance a sub-500 team sneaks into the NFC playoffs, which provides a glimmer of hope. This is an organization with a great deal of pride, and Aaron Rodgers, despite the struggles, is still one of the best passers on the planet. But the Packers will need some old-fashioned luck over the next month to have a chance. So a few things from there. Let's get this one out of the way because this is what we led the show with yesterday. Jordan Love right now, in the near future, is not seeing the field for the Green Bay Packers. So as much as we love Leroy Butler, as much as we love Peter King, as much as Devondre Campbell was saying that Jordan Love could start on a bunch of other teams around the league, let's put that story on the back burner probably until the final 2 weeks of the season. Now, when you get into the first line of that story, Hickey, how do you interpret that some of the young wide receivers have been painted as scapegoats for the Packers' problems despite Aaron Rodgers' absence during OTAs, which isn't sitting well with some there?
100% accurate. I mean, we talked about this on the show when it happened in the first place, and he was talking about the receivers not being on the same page and learning the playbook in training camp. It's one thing for it to be true. You say, hey, you got to be better. But when you don't put in the same effort, you're not working harder than even everyone else, it's a bad look. It's a really bad look, and guys tune you out quickly.
So I'm just trying to figure this out here. If you want to go back to training camp and bring training camp, I'm going to play a little devil's advocate here for a second. And you want to bring the training camp point up. We're now 10 weeks into the season. Shouldn't the absence in training camp not be one of the reasons here why they're still struggling? Like, we're talking about 5-game losing streak over the last 5 weeks. Shouldn't they be able to build chemistry by now? I know there's been guys in and out of the lineup, but the roster's been the roster. Wouldn't it be more so injuries here why they haven't been able to build that chemistry, you would think, than Aaron Rodgers? Like, I will even defend Rodgers. Yes, he's not the right messenger when you're missing all that time, and he is the leader, and sometimes people look at you for the message. And when you're overly critical, people are going to say, oh, but what about what you did a few months ago? At this rate, if you can't form the chemistry with the time that you've had, the chemistry probably is either never going to get formed, or maybe the players that are in that locker room and that are being relied upon, the young wide receivers, just aren't that good.
Well, that's definitely part of it. Yeah, injuries are a part of it. The talent itself is not very good. I would agree with you there. But it's also, too, it's like you mentioned the messenger and kind of going back to Tom Brady when he missed some time and calling out people's effort. It's
and
like,
that's Brady.
Right. And, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is near that level, too, in terms of greatness. And, again, you talk about, you know, he's one of the best quarterbacks ever played the position.
Yeah, he's tugging at Superman's cape of TB12. He's great, don't get me wrong, but he's not in the level of greatness of Tommy Brady.
But if you're a younger receiver or a new guy to the team, which most of these guys he's playing with are, I think you can get a little upset when you have Aaron Rodgers every week publicly saying, this guy's not doing that, we got to cut the reps, we got to be better, we got to get more chemistry. And then in June and July, you're doing whatever you want to do then, and those guys are there grinding.
Well, is this maybe an image problem for Aaron Rodgers? We all know how great Aaron Rodgers is, but when Tom Brady's in that locker room, everyone, you would think, is like, yo, I'll run through a wall for Tom Brady. Mike Evans, remember, that's a guy that's an established veteran, a great wide receiver in this league. When they got in that whole fight a few weeks ago, he looked at the refs and said, what else do you expect me to do? It's Tom Brady. I got to do whatever it takes for Tom Brady. For Aaron Rodgers, you just brought in Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs, two young wide receivers in this league. Do they look at Aaron Rodgers like a lot of us do and go, ah, or is it, that's the guy that wasn't here this summer for a long period of time. That's the guy that now has a bad attitude, is very sassy, and now he's ripping us through in the media and saying that my reps have to get cut? Here's what the problem is. Here's why people are upset with Rodgers maybe in that locker room. I don't think it has anything to do with the summer. I think what it mainly has to do is you had a quarterback advocating when you see the same mistakes for players in that locker room to get their reps cut. Like, let's say you make the same mistakes, Hickey, over and over and over again. That problem needs to be acknowledged. But there's a difference if I come to you as a leader and I say, hey, Ryan, you need to do X, Y, and Z better. There's a difference in saying that than me getting on the radio or me holding a press conference and go, hey, pretty much some of the guys that we work with, they suck at X, Y, and Z. And once when Rodgers goes publicly with that, that's when it makes him look like the bad dude. Now, could there be a case just to try to give an out here to Aaron Rodgers and just not to be accused of being unfair, maybe Rodgers did do this privately first and said, you got to do X, Y, and Z better. And you're making these mistakes. You got to stop making these mistakes. And maybe the young wide receivers didn't listen. And then he felt in a sense of desperation that he had to go public. I think what you're seeing, though, most likely right now is Rodgers just frustrated. Rodgers is annoyed. And this is not a guy that's always been the best leader in the world. And he's not always been someone that has consistently won at a great level in this league. And I think right now he's getting so fed up. And he's at a point really the last 2-3 years where he just publicly lets it rip with whatever he wants to say. And now you're getting Aaron Rodgers unfiltered, Aaron Rodgers in a football sense uncensored. And that may not be what's in the best interest of the Green Bay Packers.
And that sounds like what's turning off a lot of these guys. You're just saying, kind of like, screw you, man. Like, I get where they're coming from. Sure, Aaron Rodgers could be right. And again, he deserves blame too, but also he could be right in his criticism and the guy's not playing well. But also at the same time, it's kind of like if the message you're making and either you're not listening to your own advice or again, you weren't there to help him out, it's tough to listen and be like, yeah, you know what, that guy's right, I'm going to improve better. Or instead of just going like, you know what, screw this guy.
Forget everything. I just want to do an exercise here. Forget everything we just talked about the last 15 minutes. Pretend like we never had this conversation. What would you say is the biggest reason why the Packers are struggling this year?
Wide receivers.
And not having Davante Adams anymore. Well, is this another opportunity? I'll ask you this. Where we are just giving Rodgers another out. Because I feel like I've been in the minority the last few years when I've said, yes, Matt LaFleur made a boneheaded mistake going for the field goal down 8 and giving the ball back to Tom Brady to make it a 5-point game. But how many people in the moment discuss, like we did, well, there was 2 other times in that game where Aaron Rodgers had the ball down 5, 3 and out, 3 and out for I think a combined total of -6 yards. People forget he could have ran for a first down or a touchdown before taking that field goal. Stalled in the red zone another time in the game. Not a lot of people brought that up. Last year, divisional round to the playoffs, a lot of people were quick to blame the special teams when it comes to the Green Bay Packers. Rodgers' offense had 1 touchdown in a playoff game. There's been a lot of excuses, and I'm not saying some of those excuses aren't valid. The defense for years was bad. They never found the second guy to complement Davante Adams. Now, they don't even have someone that's a number one wide receiver on any other team in the NFL. But when you're getting paid $50 million, $50 million a year, you got to find a way to make it work. And I wonder if this is the first time, and you said wide receivers, which is fair, and it's a valid take. But I feel like nationally now, this is the first time people are starting to turn and actually acknowledge that, yeah, Rodgers is deserving of some blame. And I wonder at the end of the year, how many people with more stories like this coming out are going to then lead with saying, Rodgers wasn't good enough, Rodgers didn't do this, Rodgers didn't do that, and he couldn't find a way to get a unit to play a little bit better like some other quarterbacks have done. Like Tom Brady, I know we're going back to 06. He had Rishay Caldwell and Doug Gabriel. Almost got to a Super Bowl, got to an AFC championship game. You got enough names on that defensive side of the ball. And offensively, you do have A.J. Dillon and Aaron Jones. Wide receivers, we know, are not great with the Green Bay Packers. But it's kind of crazy. I'm not saying expect them to go to the Super Bowl, Ryan, but it's kind of crazy that they couldn't even make that unit serviceable. That Rodgers couldn't even make that offense somewhat productive where you would actually think they'd have a chance still to make the playoffs instead of, oh, some sub-500 team's going to get into the NFC. That's just wishful thinking. Like, there's no legitimate reason to believe of what we've seen so far that the Packers are going to turn it around this year.
Yeah, no, none whatsoever.
And that's on the quarterback. I'm not asking you to win a Super Bowl. Like, yes, in an ideal world, you want to win a Super Bowl this year. I'm just asking you to make the playoffs. Like, get to 9 wins. And I don't see a road how they're going to get to 9 wins. Even if you tell me 8 wins for the Packers could get you in, I don't see how they get to 8 wins. They only have 3 right now. They're on a 5-game losing streak. And this is now the 10th game of the season upcoming. as we're about to kick off week 10 tonight with a wonderful game, by the way. Oh, you fired up for Panthers and Falcons? This is going to be
a doozy.
It's great a few weeks ago. That means this game's going to suck tonight.
No, I think we'll get a repeat. Maybe
it,
not.
It may be close.
41-37.
It may be close, but it's not going to be pretty. I guarantee you.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there something really absurd that skeeves you out?
Getting a paper cut on my eyeball?
A fear you can't shake?
I'm going to leak ocular fluid down my cheeks. It's going to go into my mouth and I will perish.
Whatever scares you, I want to talk about it. Join me, Larry Mullins, on my new podcast, Your Weirdest Fears. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app and WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. Free battery testing, free battery charging, replacement batteries that fit your needs. That is what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Hickey, I finally figured out why I would never have the commitment to be a professional athlete. Now, some people could say, wouldn't it be a lack of size? But maybe a lack of athleticism could be the case, even though I'm somewhat athletic. You know, I could go play flag football. I played basketball growing up. You know, I wasn't great at baseball. I was good defensively. I wouldn't say I was a good hitter, though, in baseball. But regardless, you know, I played some sports growing up. Not going to say, hey, I could have been a professional athlete and make me seem like I'm the most athletic person in the world. The drive, though, that some of these guys have and these women have are unbelievable. So I'm just reading a story. As we're talking about this Panthers-Falcons game, that's going to be miserable tonight. But this is from Ari Mirov on My Sports Update. Does a great job, great follow. Falcons left tackle Jake Matthews. He traveled with the team to Carolina. Found out his wife went into labor this morning. Turned back and returned to Atlanta for the birth of their first child. And just made it back to Carolina for tonight's game. So the team left yesterday. He gets, I guess, to the hotel, wherever they're staying, in Charlotte, North Carolina. Then gets an alert this morning that your wife is going into labor. Gets back on a plane. Gets the quick flight from Charlotte back to Atlanta. Sees the birth of his first child, which was a baby boy. Then gets back on the plane. And I just saw the video. He's in flip-flops, shorts, t-shirt, backwards hat, briefcase. Running into the locker room, and this video was posted about 18 minutes or so ago. And he's going to play in the game tonight. If I'm Jake Matthews, and I was already there, then had to go back, I'm not then going back to join my team the day my son was born. I would say, fellas, you're going to have to do this without me tonight. I'm going to enjoy this time with my wife and spend the first real day or the first few hours with my my baby boy, my first ever kid. That's just me.
I actually respect the hell out of that.
I respect it, but I would not be able to do that.
No, I feel like it's not that. Like, I don't want to take away from what he's doing. I mean, the flight is not that long. I couldn't tell you how long it is, but I'm sure it's under an hour and a half for sure because it's very close. Number two, I mean, it's a Thursday night game. You're away for a few hours, then you're back, and you got a long weekend. It's not like it's a, you know, Sunday to Sunday where you're off, you know, you're back on Monday and you're off Tuesday. That's it. It's, hey, look, a few hours, you're away, come back, game's over, get there at the hospital late tonight, and you're there till Monday.
So you're telling me, let's say in a few years, you were still working together, you and Lolly, you take that next step, you finally get married, and then you eventually have a little nookie time and have a kid. You're telling me that if we're doing a radio show, and let's say it's Super Bowl week, not maybe Super Bowl week, let's say like we have a big show, that if Lolly gives birth in the morning, Hickey's going to be here at night producing the show. You're going to have that same drive as Jake Matthews.
No. If I was a football player, yes. 16 games. A radio show every day. It's a little
17
different.
17 games.
17 games.
Come on. What are you shortchanging people now?
I am. I apologize.
See, once you already flew there, then flew back, I'm not flying back once.
It's like an hour and a half.
It doesn't matter.
And he's fine, I'm sure, first class or private.
Probably true. He's probably private. But still, I would then want to be there with the family and you get to experience that moment. I would have no problem if he said, guys, I'm not going to go be a part of the team tonight. You guys could have a battle without me. Now the Falcons, they're in a playoff push. That is fair. You know, if this is the Panthers on the other end, you're 2-7, you have an interim coach, maybe then you're not rushing back to the game. Would you agree with that if, let's say, this game was in Atlanta? That would maybe be the case if you had a Panthers offensive lineman that, you know, going about it this way?
Definitely more passable for Panthers, Texans player, yeah. But you're the playoff man. You're a playoff push, man. Let's go.
Daddy,
be there.
Why weren't you in my life for the first, like, 8 hours of me living? I had to go play a football game, son.
Please. Character. No one's going to know.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So you're asking me this question that you had in the rundown today. Between Cliff Kingsbury, Josh McDaniels, Nathaniel Hackett, and Brandon Staley, who has the most pressure on them this weekend? Now, the Chargers are playing the 49ers. Brandon Staley, though, his job is on the line this season with all the Sean Payton rumors. The Denver Broncos are in Tennessee, and Ryan Tannehill, I think I saw, was a full participant in practice today. So maybe Ryan Tannehill's actually going to play. Josh McDaniels is with the Raiders, and you're having Jeff Saturday and the Indianapolis Colts come into town, but you don't have Darren Waller. You don't have Hunter Renfrow anymore because they both just went on IR. They're both out minimum 4 games. And then you have the Cardinals, who Kyler Murray's not 100%, but Matthew Stafford's not practicing as he just entered concussion protocol, Cardinals and the Rams. Between those four head coaches, who has the most pressure on them to win this weekend? When you ask the question between Cliff Kingsbury, Josh McDaniels, Nathaniel Hackett, and Brandon Staley, what's your answer?
I would go Josh McDaniels. If you lose to Jeff Saturday with all the circus that's gone on in Indy, and he wins that game, I don't know how you come back for that, personally.
So I think already Cliff Kingsbury is going to get fired at the end of the year. Josh McDaniels, I think, will be back next year. Nathaniel Hackett, I think we could all agree, he seems to be donezo at the end of the season, if not in season. It's weird because I think Brandon Staley, out of all these teams, has the toughest opponent. But that's not an unwinnable game against the 49ers. For Staley, you got to start making this thing prettier than what it is. Because you could make the playoffs this year and still lose your job. Because no one's looking at the Chargers, and I know that they've dealt with a lot of injuries, but no one's looking at the Chargers, and they feel all that confident with their head football coach. So Hackett, I think, is done at the end of the year. McDaniels, I do think he'll get one more season, but no one thinks he's going to have this long, successful career with the Raiders. And Cliff, it's just a matter of when. For Staley, you have a good roster, and you have all the makings to be a really good team. I think he has the most on the line. Because they got to start winning and winning consistently because this team has not been, even last week when they won, they got to win pretty. As crazy as that sounds, because last week when they won against the Falcons, almost like, oh, rah, rah, let's go. We got our head football coach in Brandon Staley. So even though it's a tough opponent, it's very tough to go to Santa Clara and win. I'm going to go with Brandon Staley this week, because I need to start to see this team in a very open AFC with the uncertainty with Josh Allen and that injury. You also have Patrick Mahomes clearly still playing great and being the MVP of the league. But after that, that third spot is up for the taking. Is it a team like Cincinnati? Is it a team like Baltimore? Is it a team like the Ravens? Is it the Jets? It should be the Chargers based off talent. But so far through what I've seen, I can't say I'm all that confident with the Los Angeles Chargers. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll update you on all the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio when we come on back. We call that segment the News Brief.
What makes your skin crawl? No matter how absurd, I want to know.
Tails without fur on them, such as rats or possums.
I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. You send me your fear.
I'm just so weirded out about the texture and how they can just move around and flop.
And then I go to the experts to learn how to overcome them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
So my biggest fear is there's going to be snakes in the toilet.
We're all afraid of that one strange thing. I'm Larry Mullins, the host of a new short 10-minute podcast called Your Weirdest Fears. We unpack where these fears come from.
A rat climbed into my toilet.
And learn how to manage them. Listen and subscribe to Your Weirdest Fears on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Let's start things off with Nick Sirianni. He was asked, the Eagles coach, if he would consider adding former Colts head coach, who he worked for, and former Eagles offensive coordinator, Frank Reich, back to the Eagles staff, since now Frank Reich doesn't have a job since he was just fired by the Indianapolis Colts.
As you know, what I think about Frank and how much I respect Frank as a person, how much I respect him as a football coach, you can probably imagine how I feel. I'm always going to use him as a consultant, whether he's in the building or he's not in the building, you know, but I haven't really even thought about that, to be quite honest with you.
If I'm Frank Reich, in season, am I running back when I'm getting paid still? Am I running back to just be a consultant or an advisor with the Philly? Like, the Eagles are set. And you have Shane Steichen as your offensive coordinator. You have Gannon as your defensive coordinator. Like, they obviously bringing him in on the offensive side of the ball, maybe like a senior analyst or something like that. But if you're Frank Reich, I know coaches are addicted and they love the sport and all that. Wouldn't you just be sitting on your couch and strategically waiting for whatever your next decision is, not just making a hasty decision and going back to a place that you love in Philadelphia and a guy that you love and Nick Sirianni? But if I'm him, I would not be running back to Philadelphia in season right now.
I'm with you 1,000,000%. Enjoy the family time that you're probably never going
to
have
you
again
get to
until
recharge,
you retire.
Reflect, kind of figure out why your team could never get off to a good start once this year. Why you never had a lead going into the fourth quarter. Why you got embarrassingly outscored in the first half of games this year. The first 30 minutes, you lost every single first half. I think you got to kind of do some soul searching and figure out what went wrong towards the end, other than you just didn't have the quarterback in Indianapolis. Because it's more than just not having the quarterback in Indianapolis. Like, that's a big part of the problem. But on paper this year, even with how disastrous of an ending it was last year, people were saying positive. No one said Super Bowl or anything to that level of jackassery with the Indianapolis Colts. But people were thinking they could win the division this year heading into the season. And just because Jonathan Taylor wasn't always available, I can't just say that's the reason why he got fired. That line significantly regressed. They were never really able to develop any of these wide receivers. The defense, I know Shaq Leonard's been hurt, but even the defense hasn't been put in an advantageous situation. Like, I would try to figure out what went wrong more so than you just didn't have the quarterback. And what do you think that answer is, since you were Mr. Indianapolis Colt?
Oh, it's offensive line, without a doubt. Defense was good. Receivers developed actually really nicely. It's just the issue is you can't block anybody. You can't block them. You can't run the ball. Can't go any deep passes. They had zero threat past 10 yards because they didn't have the time to block. That simple. Five guys couldn't block anyone.
Now, you said before this is the highest paid offensive line in the league, right?
Yep, it is.
I know that they were dealing with some injuries. But how did it get this bad in the offensive line? That was the one thing everyone said about the Colts throughout the last few years. Oh, great offensive line. Oh, look at that overrated GM, Chris Ballard. He's done a great job in fixing this offensive line. I know they had some movement throughout the years, but this line's getting paid a pretty penny.
Well, part of it is they have literally patchwork at left tackle, which you can't do ever. And they
put Costanzo retirement, what was that, 2 years ago?
Yes, and they tried Eric Fisher last year coming off a torn Achilles. Didn't work. And they took a practice squad player from the Eagles, like a swing tackle, a swing guard in Matt Pryor.
You think
and
Sirianni,
stuck him out to left tackle
oh,
for
Matt,
the first time.
I know Matt Pryor. You think Sirianni did a little sabotage there? Like, hey, Frank, come take this guy. He may be something.
I believe when they traded him, it was actually in training camp last year, so right when Sirianni got there. So maybe, yeah, oh. Take him. Go ahead, you know, go have a... When he was fine, when he was like the seventh guy on the line last year. But, I mean, Quentin Nelson forgot out of the block. Ryan Kelly doesn't know what he's doing.
What's Frank Reich's next move? Is he coaching in college as a head coach? Is he coaching in the NFL next as a head coach? Or is he an offensive coordinator again? What do you think his next move is?
I think he'll still get head coaching looks.
I would too. I don't think he's great. I think he's okay. I think he's overrated. And that has been proven to be true the last 2 years, as I've been saying. I do think, though, he has the respect of a lot of people in the NFL, and we've seen a lot worse coaches get a second look and a second job. So I would think he won't have to go the route of being an offensive coordinator again. I would think it's either going to be, if you want to be a college head coach, you could have many opportunities, but I would think someone would be willing to give him a head coaching job in the NFL. Out of any of these possible destinations this year, Chargers, nah, they got to go bigger. You know who wouldn't be bad? You know who I could see? And I predicted the other day Dan Quinn would be their next head coach. I could see Frank Reich with the Denver Broncos. That wouldn't shock me.
I think he's a little too soft-spoken, though. I think Russ needs someone to basically tell him what to do. Frank Reich is not that. Not that whatsoever. He's a great offensive mind.
Maybe not publicly, but what about internally?
No, because there were some reports and rumors that the players were upset that he was not basically criticizing anyone that was struggling the last few weeks. So,
well, then
he kind of lost locker room.
If that's the case, I don't want that guy as my head coach. I want nothing to do with him then. Get him out. Make him be a quarterback coach in the NFL then. It also helps when you know Boomer Esiason too. You know Boomer advocating for you as well. Boomer and Frank, best friends going back to their days at Maryland. Let's get to the D.C. Attorney General, Carl Racine. I probably just butchered that last name, on why his office is suing the Commanders, Daniel Snyder, and the NFL. It's a little bit long, but listen up.
First, we allege that Mr. Snyder lied to DC consumers when he denied knowing anything about the allegations of a hostile work environment and culture of sexual harassment. He directed his employees to create voyeuristic videos of partially clad cheerleaders from calendar shoots, from footage that the cheerleaders had no idea even existed. When Mr. Snyder was told about allegations of male executives and employees making unwanted sexual comments and propositions toward other employees, he was often dismissive. And you know the trick. He blamed repeatedly the victims. Second, we allege that the National Football League and its commissioner, Roger Goodell, Mr. Snyder, and the Commanders misled the public about what was being done to address the allegations of harassment and the toxic culture that the Commanders maintained. They did all of this to hide the truth, protect their images, and let the profits continue to roll. That's why we're suing Mr. Snyder, the Commanders, the National Football League, and the Commissioner Roger Goodell. Because you can't lie to DC residents in order to protect your image, your profits, and get away with it.
Now, I'm not a dummy. It wouldn't shock me
initially when they defend Dan Snyder, the NFL, because it's one of their own. It's an exclusive club, only 32 owners, all that. But with how many times he put the NFL in a bad spot, the only one the owners in the NFL and Roger Goodell has to blame are themselves. Because for years, the obvious opinion, the majority of people were saying, sell the team, sell the team, sell the team. Get this guy out. Get this guy away from the NFL. He's a pain in the ass. He operates an organization horribly. He's made a once proud fan base not even want anything to do with this team anymore, not even go to games, be ashamed to even admit that they root for this football team. And when you keep on playing with fire, eventually you're going to get burned. And it's crazy. I don't want to say it's crazy because it's not shocking, especially with the timeline of this, where a few weeks ago, Daniel Snyder, I'm not going to sell the team, when Jim Irsay was pretty much saying that it has to happen. Now he got wind of what was going on. I hired Bank of America to explore the interests of us, Tanya and Dan, selling the team to Snyder's. So you knew this was coming. And now, since you didn't get out and the NFL didn't get him away and get his $5, $6 billion years ago, all this stuff is going to come out to light because there's only so much people could take. And when this guy was leading you down a road, which was always the wrong way, over and over and over and over again, eventually you got to say, dude, you got to go away. You got to get away from us. You're toxic. You're bad for the league. And the NFL sweeps a lot of things under the rug. Now, all of a sudden, this is all playing out publicly. And it's no surprise because the Daniel Snyder era is over with the Commanders. Sooner rather than later, we'll see how quickly this moves, he's going to have to sell the team. And you already had Jim Irsay, that's one owner we know publicly, turn against him. More are going to follow. They may just not do so publicly. But now, you wonder how uglier this is going to get, into what extent and what extreme this is going to go. But the only one the NFL has to blame is themselves, because Ryan, they kept on trusting this guy who is not trustworthy.
Like, it's the least shocking thing ever, and the NFL in court because of Dan Snyder, what a shock.
And really, it's deserved. Because inexcusably, you defended this guy for years. For years.
And he's a bad guy.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Time and time again, a bad dude.
And it's one thing when the team just sucks and people say, sell the team, sell the team, sell the team, and you know that's never going to happen. But when you have all these things, and every time there is someone trying to hold him accountable, he just goes and tries to create a distraction to blame someone else. Like the other night, the way that they tried to get in front of this statement was to use Brian Robinson, who, it wasn't his fault, he got shot. Like, that's the level of scumbag that this guy is. How he goes to that low to use a kid that is a rookie that got shot, had nothing to do with this. And, oh, yeah, the attorney general's not coming after us. Well, how about Brian Robinson, who got shot? And you think that's going to make you look good? Guy's tone deaf. The guy's horrible. He's toxic. And the NFL's finally getting burned by him. Brandon Cooks discusses his frustration with the Texans organization.
Look, man, I'm human. I'm frustrated, absolutely. I want to win. That's not the case. That's what's going on. So, you know, that's the way I express my emotion. I think we all want to win. We all frustrated in some sense. So, you know, that's where I'll stand with that.
Brandon, are you open to playing here beyond this season? Would you kind of take stock at the end of the year and see how you feel then?
Oh, I mean, you know, how I'm feeling right now, just like I said, take a day-by-day process. I'm here now for the time being. And as far as everything else, you know, getting worked out things, that we'll keep that in turn.
Most of the frustration just stemmed towards not being able to win.
I mean, I would say that's some of it. But, you know, like I said, as far as going into depth, I'm going to keep that internal.
He's trying to have the best of both worlds. He wanted to get paid. He signed the extension. And then he thought he was going to get traded at the deadline. He didn't get traded at the deadline. Maybe they told him they were and they couldn't get a deal done. And now he's mad at the organization. But ultimately, and I like Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks is a heck of a wide receiver. I think he's very underrated in this league. And he's bounced around a lot from team to team to team getting traded. Ultimately, the reason why you're still there is you signed an extension with the team. What did you magically think was going to happen overnight? This team is going to start winning games with Davis Mills at quarterback? And with the lack of talent they have on this roster, nonsense. He's just annoyed and his feelings are hurt because he signed his deal, voiced his frustration, and he thought he was going to get dealt, and he didn't get dealt. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we will do a little Week 10 edition of this QB or that QB, and we will do that when we return in 5 minutes across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app.
Listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.